The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to put Marquez Valdes-Scantling in your Week 6 lineup? That was not smart. But using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Monday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. My name is Field Yates. What's up, Matthew Berry and star Fania Bell? How we doing?
Which one would you like to... You asked us both at the same time. Which of, would you like me, or would you like the lovely Stefania Bell to answer
the
question?
Well, let's go with beauty and age before... bald and whatever you are. What are you, Stefania? How are you, Stefania?
It's fair.
Well, thanks for asking, Field.
You're quite welcome.
I'm pretty good, despite the thrashing of my 49ers yesterday. I went and I boxed it out this morning, so I got out my aggression before the podcast.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did that. Spare both Matthew and my moneymaker here. That was good. Bethy, how are you, since I get to...
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Hail the Redskins. Hail victory.
Yeah,
nothing to complain about here today from Matthew Berry. We've got a ton to get to today.
Got a nice victory over Trey Wingo in the War Room League. Things are good. Oh, and look, and Alfred Morris got a point. only 1 week too late.
I'm waiting for Field to answer.
All is great. You know me. I'm the positive guy around here. I'm Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky. Not only am I going to have a great podcast here, but today... because of the generosity of Daniel Dopp, who is all the way in Atlanta to watch tonight's game between the Falcons
and
the G-Men. I get to fill in on Matthew Berry's TV show as Daniel Dopp, which means
I
got fake tattoos. Oh, no, never mind. I don't have the fake tattoos on yet, but I get to wear a cool T-shirt to work today.
Right.
Shout out, Yater's going to yeet. Yeah, you guys can get yours available.
It's a little skin there.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little, yeah.
If you watch the TV show, you're just going to have to pretend that Field didn't just, you know.
He did the big reveal.
Yeah, you'll see someone that looks sort of like. There'll be more surprises. That's true. Fantasy show on ESPN Plus later today. So that'll be fun. You'll be filling in for Daniel in all sorts of ways on today's episode.
He'll have a beard.
He's going to have tats. We'll probably see his nipples.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, let's get right into the football, and let's start by going backwards to Thursday night. The Cardinals are trounced by the Broncos. 45-10 is the final. A lot of storylines surrounding the Cardinals after the game, but let's begin with the Broncos. And Stefania, Royce Freeman left this game. He's got an ankle issue now.
He does. And look, we don't know the nature of it. We don't know the severity of it. Unfortunately, what happens, you get an injury on Thursday night. No one's talking about it on Friday because everybody's looking forward to the game ahead. So they will not reveal much about Royce Freeman's status until probably Tuesday, Wednesday, like the other teams do. But certainly, if he were to miss time, it was an ankle injury. That's all we know. If he were to miss time, that would sort of resolve one question in the backfield.
Yeah, it certainly would. And Matthew, it's been basically a split throughout the year, sort of a three-man split, actually. But I don't say this is good news. You don't wish...
Or two-and-a-half men.
Sure, two-and-a-half men split. You don't wish poorly upon
that
a player.
Sounds familiar.
You don't wish injury upon a player. But if Royce Freeman sits, it does mean that we expect it to be the Philip Lindsay show next week against Kansas City in a game that you know Denver's going to have to score points to keep up.
Philip Lindsay's terrific. I mean, you watch that game on Thursday night, and... I will say that I think one of the issues that they're having is that when Royce Freeman's in the game, the play calling is fairly conservative and fairly obvious. And you're like, the defense is like, oh, well, this is an off-tackle run.
When Royce Freeman's in the game.
Yeah. Whereas the versatility of Philip Lindsay gives them a lot more options. And so I think you sort of watch that game and you're like, God, that guy, Lindsay, is so much better than Royce Freeman. And Philip Lindsay is a terrific young player, and it's a great story. So I'm not trying to take any way away from Lindsay. I will just say that I do think that he's had an, quote, easier time of it than Royce Freeman has because of the because of some of the play calling there. To that point, though, if Royce Freeman were to miss time, Phillip Lindsay, who is already a borderline top 20 play, even with Freeman in there, would suddenly vault into like the top 15. He's a really talented kid.
We had talked about Demaryius Thomas being the ultimate sell high after back-to-back games and scoring a touchdown. Well, part of the reason why is like he doesn't look like the same player right now in this Denver offense. 5 catches, 42 yards on 6 targets, just 9.2 fantasy points. I'm just telling you, if he stays in Denver, and there's been a lot of trade speculation surrounding Demaryius Thomas, that could be what you're used to because Cortland Sutton is coming.
Remember, I ranked Demaryius Thomas 41 last week. Remember how guilty I felt about it?
Yeah, everybody ended up right around
41. Yeah, I'm curious. I wonder where he ended up, but I don't feel that guilty about it anymore.
Yeah, no, he's a player that, now again, if he gets traded this week, there's plenty of speculation.
I'm just laughing at the idea of Stefania feeling guilty. Like, just
I know, Stefania, it just felt like, bad. Like, I
Stefania
felt like
going to her house of worship and saying, forgive me for I have sinned. I ranked Demaryius Thomas outside the top 40.
I'll tell you why. Because I don't necessarily feel like the talent has fallen off as much as he is not functioning well in that offense. You never know. A change of scene could do someone some good.
It certainly could. Thirsty Kyle points out, by the way, at the moment, right now, we still have a game to play. He is wide receiver 41 for the week.
I think it's time to go get my Mega Millions ticket.
Absolutely.
Right now.
You nailed it.
Odell did not score 9 points.
You should drop the mic and walk away from rankings forever. Just be like, boom, I nailed it. I'm done. I'm not topping this. It is a high point there. I agree with you, Field, and I do think that, you know, I know today is your waiver wire column, your free agent fines column.
Yeah.
Is Cortland Sutton on there just as a speculative ad in case Demaryius Thomas were to get traded?
I did not have him on the waiver wire column as of yet. He will be considered. Again, the trade deadline is next Tuesday, so we'll see what happens there with Demaryius Thomas.
I do think for deeper leagues where Cortland Sutton is available, I do think he makes a very good speculative ad, regardless of whether or not Demaryius Thomas gets traded, because I agree with you. I mean, you just watch Sutton in this game, whatever, 3 targets, he catches the 1 touchdown. But there's something there with Cortland Sutton.
Let's keep it rolling to Arizona. And the story really is not what happened during the game. It's what happened after the game. But just a quick pass it along. Larry Fitzgerald, 4 for 40 with a touchdown on 8 targets. It was great to see. Stefania and I said on Friday,
we were
very happy to be wrong on Larry Fitzgerald, who had basically become a shell of himself in that offense. But the big news was this. They fired head.
But do you feel he's no longer? I'm interrupting for a second, but I think this is an important thing for real quick. Do you suddenly think because he got 8 targets, he's 4 for 40 and a touchdown, like on a sort of blown coverage in the middle of the field, that all of a sudden, like, you would feel confident in starting Larry Fitzgerald next?
I think that it all weaves into what I'm about to get to, which is that Mike McCoy's been fired as the offensive coordinator, and now it's Byron Leftwich, who will be a first time play caller. But Byron Leftwich was not hired this offseason by the Cardinals. He has been there, he has done that with Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit offensive coordinator. So I wonder if Mike McCoy being fired and Byron Leftwich being hired can in some ways unlock the best players on this Arizona offense, who remain Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson. It's really early on. We haven't seen them play a game. We will see them play the 49ers this Sunday. But what are your expectations quickly about how this could change the Cardinals offense?
I don't think it changes that much. Like, look, nowhere to go but up for the Cardinals offense. So that's the positive here. And I get it that, you know, Leftwich was part of Arian's staff, but it's a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad team with a rookie quarterback who has not looked good so far. And I don't know how much of that is on him.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the.
You okay, Tarika? What's going on over there?
You know what? I just wanted to make one mistake so that Daniel could feel like we missed him.
Fair enough.
Oh,
there you go.
You are generous, you know, Tarika.
You're going to need to make a few more, actually, to be honest, for Daniel to really feel like we missed him. Daniel's like, one mistake, I do that in the first 3 minutes. But I do think that, I think it's a lot to put on a first-time play caller on an offense that doesn't have a lot of skill players outside of the two you just mentioned. I mean, you know, we've seen flashes from Christian Kirk, but, you know, it's not like their offensive line is suddenly going to magically get better. It's not like, all of a sudden Josh Rosen is going to, I sort of feel like Josh Rosen is stuck in like what we saw with Jared Goff last year. Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, I should say, 2 years ago.
Correct. Yeah. I think that's fair.
I don't know. Like, again, nowhere to go but up for those two players, but I think the idea that Byron Leftwich, a first-time play caller, is going to come in and suddenly magically make this offense, the Bruce Arians high flying Cardinals from 2 years ago, I think is, premature.
More to come on this throughout the week. Let's get to the Patriots, who win 38-31 over the Bears, but the win did not come without some injury attrition. And as a matter of fact, Stefania, it took place before the game. Gronk didn't travel to Chicago. What's the latest that we know about Gronk and his status as people are already looking ahead to Week 8 and Monday Night Football against the Bills?
Well, as you can imagine, the Patriots are not going to offer anything up right now and probably won't until they absolutely have to. So you take the clues from the fact that he didn't make the trip, that this was his back. I know we talked about it extensively on Fantasy Football Now yesterday, but for those who may not have heard the conversation and coming in from Friday, where we didn't even know that the back was an issue, because it wasn't until Friday afternoon in the practice report that it actually they put back next to his name alongside ankle. And the ankle is the thing that has had him on the injury report so far this year. And then, of course, his history of back problems makes you concerned. On Saturday, they downgraded him to questionable. He did not make the trip. They were leaving the door open that he could potentially come in on Sunday. Then on Sunday, but somewhere between Saturday and Sunday, he moves to doubtful and ultimately is out. I think if I have Rob Gronkowski on a fantasy team, I am at least making other plans for this week. There's possibility he comes back. We don't know. But I'm more concerned about the up and down potential of this for the rest of the season. Could it be something that bothers him intermittently across the year?
And then Sony Michel also got injured on Sunday, Stefania. It did not look good to the eye, but we don't have the full picture as of yet this morning.
Right. And if you didn't see the play, it was like he got corkscrewed back. You know, he essentially got rotated, legs in a pile, bent backwards from the top down. So a lot of things under duress in that setting. And it's really hard to take a look at the video and say, oh, this is what you think it is. You know, you guys know I'm not a fan of doing that anyway. But he did require assistance off the field, trouble walking, getting further evaluation today. And obviously, we'll let you know as soon as we do.
Now, Matthew, the question becomes, if Sony Michel misses time, there are, I think, two questions. One, what is the value of James White? And two, what would the value be of a potential back added to this Patriots roster? Because it's hard to fathom them going into a game if Michelle cannot play next Monday night, with just two running backs on the roster. Let's begin with James White. Like, top five, top eight?
Easily. I mean, James White would, look, are they scared to run James White between the tackles on the goal line? They're not. We've seen this. I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, we've seen this. And so, while he's obviously a different player than Sony Michel, if Sony Michel were to miss time here, James White becomes David Johnson 2016 light.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, just in terms of the volume of pass catches he could get, but the touchdown scoring, like, I'm not saying he's going to be David Johnson, best player in fantasy football, but I think he's a poor man's version of that player from a fantasy perspective. Like, he's got that kind of potential because you know how often the Patriots run when they get in close. James, as Teddy Bruschi said on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, he's in the triangle of trust. He's in Tom's triangle of trust. Like, it's him, it's Gronk and Edelman. And so when you're in the triangle of trust and you're in close and you look around and you don't have a lot of other options out there, James Whiten's getting the ball a ton. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he would easily be, he was already borderline top 10. So I think top five is absolutely very realistic for James White. I think you'd see some Kenyon Barner. I assume he's top of the free agent finds column.
He is near the top. There's not a lot of great options, but yeah, sure. He is certainly near the top of the free agent finds this week. Maybe the Patriots do add somebody this week as well.
Mike Gillisley is still out there. That's a name that keeps bandied about. Le'Veon Bell. Did they trade for Le'Veon Bell? Pittsburgh Steelers say, like, hey, all's forgiven. We don't care. We won't see you in the AFC playoffs. You can have him.
You can put a pin in that idea right away with Le'Veon Bell, obviously. But yes, the Patriots have some questions to answer at that running back spot going forward. We'll see how quickly something gets done. And they play Monday night. So the first injury report won't be until Thursday. So information on Gronk and, I mean, I guess Sony Michel will find out much more before that. But Gronk specifically will find out on Thursday night.
And Adam has already tweeted some stuff about Sony Michel. I'm sure it's a story that everyone's going to be following closely. And I think it is worth noting that, like, it'd be interesting to see if they trade for anyone as well. Like if LeSean McCoy hadn't gotten hurt, and we're going to get into McCoy in a second. Like,
again, Bills, Patriots,
but, I know, maybe
right?
not. But like we just saw the Carlos Hyde trade. Like, there are going to be running backs available that are on free agent, that are free agent coming up, that are in a free agency year or a potential walk year on teams whose season is not going the way they had hoped.
All right, let's get to the Bears, because Mitch Trubisky had one of those Blake Bortles types games where if you watch it, you may not have said like, holy cow, that was unbelievable. But for fantasy football, that was unbelievable. Trubisky had just a dazzling 8-yard touchdown run. You're like, how is an 8-yard run dazzling? Because he ran 71.9 yards on the play.
That was an unbelievable
play. That was so great.
Truly remarkable. We haven't seen it.
It was like one side to the other and around and back.
Well, and he pauses and just sort of the vision. It was Le'Veon Bell-esque, right. You know, there at the moment where just in terms of like pausing, letting the defense, set and then juking. You know, we talked about him on Fantasy Football Now. He was on the love list this week coming into the week. We talked about coming into this week how he had the fifth most rushing yards among quarterbacks. Wouldn't surprise me after this week if he is number one in that category. Trubisky Field has now 102 fantasy points over his last three games. Like, he's at three straight top five finishes for him.
Yep. Remember, they've had their bye as well.
Right.
Have they had their bye?
Yes,
They've had their bye because they came back and they lost the Dolphins after that bye. Right. They've had their bye. The matchups have not seemingly been a massive issue so far, Mitch, for Mitch Trubisky. Yeah, like, he's not just a streamer last week. He's a legitimate potential top 10 quarterback the rest of the way. I mean, that might be too conservative of an estimate, by the way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So, you know, Trubisky was a popular, coming into the season,
breakout,
one of the things,
right?
Breakout. Like, we talked about, like, hey, who's like this year's Carson Wentz? Think it's Patrick Mahomes, but a close second would be Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. And there's a bit of a slow start here, but finally we're seeing Matt Nagy's offense. And we talked about Trubisky. You know, I said this on Fantasy Football Now, and I think people sort of looked at me sort of weird. And I said, look, this is what I said on Fantasy Football Now. I said, I have Tom Brady at 10, but I have Trubisky like at 14. I don't have a big difference between the two of them, actually. And obviously Trubisky ends up outscoring Brady. So I had those ranks wrong or reversed or whatever. But I just said he had, coming into this game, he was the fourth best quarterback in fantasy, and he had missed a game because of the bye week. And now he puts up another 30-point performance. Like, you may have picked him up to be like a bye week replacement. It's going to be hard to get rid of him.
No doubt about that. Mr. Trubisky was awesome yesterday, but not so awesome was the running back split. Now, Jordan Howard makes good in his day with a early, short touchdown rush, I should say. 12 rushes, 39 yards, and a touchdown. But Tariq Cohen gets 14 touches, 8 catches for 69 yards on 12 targets. Like, I think we're getting to the point where at the beginning of the season, we all had Jordan Howard ranked like, you know, close to a top 15 running back, and Tariq Cohen was like maybe a top 25 running back. We're getting to the point now where you basically just flip a coin. And I think Cohen has clearly more upside.
See, I'd rather have Cohen the rest of the year than Jordan Howard. He strikes me as the better fit as we see this offense start to emerge. And I know they lost this game.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if you're the Bears and you're watching the tape, right, and I know they lost to Miami, but I think if you're the Bears and you're sitting there looking at sort of the last, you're like, this is what the offense is supposed to look like. Not what it was, not the conservative, grinded out team that we saw the first couple weeks. This is what I believe Matt Nagy wants to do. And so, I mean, if Jordan Howard doesn't get the touchdown yesterday, I mean, you're looking at 13 touches for 47 yards.
Yeah, it's ugly.
48 yards, I should say.
It's ugly. It's pretty clear now that Tariq Cohen has way more upside of these two.
Way more upside. And so, I mean, I think they'll probably end up split in terms of fantasy points going forward because Howard will fall into the end zone a handful of times. But yeah, I think week in, week out, you'd probably rather have Cohen than Howard. Will you rank Cohen before Howard next week when they play the Jets?
That's my plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's early too. But that is my plan. The Browns go to Tampa Bay and they play another game in overtime, their fifth of the season. Big takeaway here was this. Baker Mayfield got the beginning of a four-game stretch underway yesterday. He finishes with 20.9 fantasy points against the Buccaneers, 215 passing yards. Did you feel as though Baker Mayfield, did he inspire confidence to you yesterday that he could be a legitimate starter going forward for the next 3 weeks? Or did he make you feel less confident in that idea based on how he played against the Bucs yesterday?
I think borderline starter. Okay. Like, not a no-brainer, that kind of stuff. I think it depends on who your options are. You know, wins up with 20 points. You know, he had the 43 yards rushing, which you like. The problem here, Field, is the matchups are great. But, you know,
wide receiver stink, not named. Right.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. In terms of the pass catchers. And after the game, Hugh Jackson was like, you know, I need to get more involved. Maybe I'll take over the play calling. And you're just like, no. Keith, how would you feel about that? I'm just curious. Keith Liscombe, not cool Keith, of course, lifelong Browns fan. So you bring in Todd Haley, who I think is, by all accounts, you know, highly, highly regarded as a play caller in the NFL for, you know, his many years of, you know, Pittsburgh, obviously, as head coach in Arizona and Kansas City. And so your thoughts about Hugh Jackson's declaration that maybe what they'll do is they'll strip Todd Haley of the play calling and Hugh will take that over.
I feel like we've sort of seen that, have we not?
Yeah.
Didn't work so well, did it?
Did not seem to.
I mean, I disagree with some play calls. Sure. I'm sure most fans of teams do week to week.
Yep.
But I don't think that Todd Haley is necessarily the problem here. So we'll figure out, or that Hugh was necessarily the solution.
We'll see whether or not Hugh gets more involved or not. But let's get back to Baker Mayfield. But I think you're right, though, is that like enough that he salvaged your day yesterday if you rolled the dice on Baker Mayfield. But I have a little bit more caution because as bad as the Steelers have been numerically this season, it still wouldn't surprise me if the Browns go to Pittsburgh and like just fall flat on their face again, especially with all the sort of not quite turmoil, but all the stuff that's floating around in Cleveland right now. There is
always a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. But it feels like it's ramping back up this week.
It's a divisional game. They're coming off. The Pittsburgh Steelers are coming off a bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for the Browns.
Yikes.
I am with you, young Field Yates.
Big news on Friday was that the Browns traded Carlos Hyde to the Jaguars in exchange for a 2019 fifth-round pick. Amongst the takeaways, it's the Nick Chubb show, right? Well,
It is.
On Sunday.
It is.
The numbers for Nick Chubb were 18 rushes for 80 yards and a touchdown. No catches, but he did have two targets. Meanwhile, Duke Johnson gets just one rush, plus four catches for 23 yards. Clearly, Nick Chubb is the Browns running back of preference here, and he might have top 15 or top 18 run upside for the rest of the week.
When you look at this stat, 16 carries this season prior to week 7. 18 carries in week 7 alone, and there was only one time where he didn't carry the ball. Duke Johnson gets one carry. Obviously, he touches the ball a little bit more with pass catching, but it's Nick Chubb, and it's not even a competition.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird in Mayfield, who threw the ball 34 times in this game, came in to the game fourth in pass attempts among the games in which he had been a starter, and we thought, well, this will, you know, they'll get him more involved, and there were a couple of plays that Duke Johnson had that were called back due to penalty. But in terms of like, hey, one of the reasons for this trade was to try to free up more playing time to Duke Johnson, that didn't come to fruition, and it was a game in which the Browns trailed for the majority of it.
Yeah, too bad. Maybe Duke Johnson gets it going eventually, but for now, like, why would you play him with any level of confidence as a RB2 at this point
you of just
your
can't.
Season? You just can't. For the Buccaneers, Jameis Winston kind of just figures out a way to get there to 20 points in a lot of weeks. It was pretty ugly in some ways yesterday, two interceptions, but he was saved by 365 passing yards and a rushing touchdown, a diving, sprawling rushing touchdown by Jameis Winston yesterday. 10 rushes, 55 yards in that score. Yeah, and Jameis, he was available. He was sitting there for the taking. He's a top 10 or 12 quarterback for the rest of the season, and he remained that way on Sunday.
It's so hard because I'm one of those people that if I don't need him, I've got a well-positioned quarterback in my fantasy leagues. But I watch him play, and I don't want him on my fantasy team.
Wow.
It's one of those where
he doesn't want you to be. Maybe he doesn't want to be on your fantasy team.
That's fine.
Let's be honest. It's been a struggle this year.
In one league in particular, we'll leave alone.
Yeah.
But I will say this: every week, you know, the logic is there. He puts up the points. He qualifies. I found myself ranking him at least close to where you guys are ranking him, but there's something about the way he plays, the threat of him throwing the interceptions, of which there were two yesterday. He's a mistake maker that doesn't appear to have made steady progression to me year in and year out. So maybe, you know how we talk about football, real football versus fantasy football? That's why I feel like Jameis Winston is a better fantasy football quarterback than he is a real football quarterback.
I think that's a fair criticism in my book. No, exactly.
I think that in all seriousness,
Stefania, and jokes aside, by the way, other than the War Room League, you're having a great fantasy year. But I think that's a fair criticism. But I'm actually more bullish on him as an NFL quarterback than Stefania is. The mistakes are still there. Are there parts of his game he needs to clean up? 100%. But I'm more encouraged than not. I mean, there are very few quarterbacks that don't make. I mean, look, you know, were there some poor turnovers in that game? Of course there were. But Carson Wentz, who I think we all agree is one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, made a completely boneheaded interception to kill the rally for the Eagles yesterday. I mean,
Matthew, you're right. They both have their moments, but I got to die. At least I would say this. Around the NFL, there is a whole lot more skepticism about Jameis Winston as a real quarterback than you are saying right now. I really do believe it. It's one of the most fascinating decisions of the offseason coming up.
I 100% agree with that, by the way. I'm personally not sold on Jameis Winston, and I agree with you that the NFL, I don't think it's sold on him as a franchise quarterback. I'm not even convinced the Buccaneers are. I think part of the reasons why they went from Fitzpatrick to Winston is because they have to make a big decision this offseason. I am more bullish than you are.
All right, so let's move along to the other players in Tampa's offense, specifically the running backs, because Peyton Barber we talked about last week, and we were like, yeah, he's actually pretty available for a guy that's getting a lot of work. And then yesterday, of course, Ronald Jones.
Of course.
Vultures, a one-yard touchdown from Peyton Barber. The takeaway for us last week was this. Barber is like a flex play, like amongst the players that are a clear-cut starting running back in their offense. Like, he's one of the lowest-ranked runners each and every week. But you got to at least have him in the mix. Would have been nice to see him get that touchdown run yesterday. But Ronald Jones apparently exists.
Still
six rushes for 13 yards and a touchdown for Ronald Jones. Really a dominant performance from the Houston Texans yesterday. The Jaguars, I don't know what is going on. But Deshaun Watson struggled, as we sort of forecasted, 10.9 fantasy points. But, you know, I'm not going to get too down on Deshaun Watson because I understand it's back-to-back bad weeks. One of them felt like the outlier. One of them felt like the expectation. The Jaguars' defense, maybe not as good as last year, but has still been excellent.
Right.
Stefania, though, this is a legitimately banged-up player right now in Deshaun Watson.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen him take the hits. We've talked about the fact that the Texans have been worried about him taking so many hits, the notion of him getting out of bounds. There's just the way he plays the game that I think he's one of these young quarterbacks who's working through that. Like, he wants to show his teammates he's committed to doing whatever it takes to help get them a win. But you got to balance that with a guy who had an ACL reconstruction last year, who's absorbed way too many hits. I think at the point that we were talking about this a few weeks ago, he had taken something like 80 such and such hits so far that year, much higher number than most. I think I saw an NFL matchup that he was up there in the contact and the amount of hits that he has taken, shall we say, in this season. So there's a legitimate concern about it. They're all banged up in Houston, quite frankly, but they're not, if they don't have him on the field, they're not, are they in first right now?
They're in first place, right? 4-3
in
Houston, Texans.
If he's not on the field, right?
Yeah, that's right.
First, they lose their first three games and somehow they find themselves in first. And I think a lot of that credit goes to him.
And they play on Thursday night against the Dolphins, of course. Much to discuss about that game later on this week. Lamar Miller showed up yesterday too. Like, who would have thought that Lamar Miller, who has been as plain as a plain donut throughout this first 6 weeks of the season.
Yo, why are you crapping on plain donuts, man? Why are you touching plain donuts going, what'd we ever do to you, Field Yates? Yeah.
But that is a fantastic metaphor for Lamar
Stefania,
Miller.
I have to ask you a question though. Don't
plain,
you, don't,
when, vanilla, wait, blah.
Right, but like, don't you think of all the people on the 06-010, and I include the bigger universe, right? Not just the three of us, but Mike Clay and Secret Squirrel and Thirsty Kyle and Tarika and Not Cool Keith and Random Damien, who no one knows. Like, is there, if there was any person on the 06-010 universe that you were like, you know who's the plain donut of the 06-010? Isn't it this guy?
No, he's a spicy tomato.
No.
Come on.
How could you possibly call me a spicy tomato and a plain donut?
No, because it's both. I'll tell you why. On Instagram, you're a spicy tomato.
Okay.
You're like, you're wearing eyeliner, you're shirtless, you know, your nipples are on full display at all times. But here on the podcast, you were Johnny Plain. You were Mr. Donut. You were right down the middle. You were stay within the colored lines. Like, you never color outside the lines. Like, you were right down the middle.
No, I'm Mr.
You
are, buttoned up. I'm like the guy that's
you
like,
are driving 54 miles an hour. You are Mr.
55.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't drive 55.
No, that's Field Yates, right? I can drive 55, you know, like, yeah. Okay.
Well, in any event, I believe that Lamar Miller is playing donuts. Sorry, Lamar, but you played really well on Sunday. So that's the part that matters. We hope that this volume sustains for Lamar Miller. Again, they play on Thursday night. Still no sign of Deontay Foreman on the practice field.
But I think this is coming soon.
So it could be coming soon, maybe next week, because they have a short week this week. But Kiki Cutie got hurt, Stefania, a player that's been really productive. He's banged up.
Right, and he's had a hamstring injury going into this game. If you look at their three receivers, every week, week, I'm talking about all three of them, right? DeAndre Hopkins has been on since the beginning of the year with multiple body parts, but you never would know it when you see him play on Sunday because he continues to do spectacular physical things and you never really see any evidence of the injury. Will Fuller, we knew he had a hamstring injury coming into the season, missed week one, and then has had a couple subpar games. And then you thought going into this week, Keke Coutee, who's really stepped it up on the radar, had the hamstring injury. I don't think he played until week five was first time he was out there.
Yep.
But you thought he's the one based on matchup and health. He'll have the good week. He leaves early, sort of turns things around.
Go ahead, Matthew.
I was going to say is, yeah, I mean, Stefania's spot on about that. And so Coutee not going to play Thursday night. So I would like Will Fuller, especially because you expect Xavier Howard to be on DeAndre Hopkins. But just to tie a bow on Lamar Miller real quickly here, December 11th, 2016. Was the last time Lamar Miller ran for 100-plus yards and ran for a touchdown, which is what he had done this game. He had gone 10 straight games without 100 yards or a rushing touchdown. He did both in this game here. I think Lamar Miller has another good game on Thursday night against a Dolphins run defense that is poor, as we saw from Kerryon Johnson. And then I think you sell, because I agree with you. I mean, we'll see on Deontay Foreman, because it's always tough coming back from Achilles. But I'm just not a huge Lamar Miller fan. Can I get a Twitter poll, by the way, Thirsty Cal, about whether is Field Yates a plain donut? Is Field Yates the plain donut of the 06-0-0? Yes or no? Simple yes or no.
Let's get to the Jaguar side of the Carlos Hyde trade, because of course they now have an extra back in their backfield. TJ Yeldon plays yesterday and gets you good fantasy production. And was not a particularly effective rusher, 12 for 28, but 5 catches, 40 yards, and the team's lone touchdown yesterday. I'm just going to keep it simple. Sort of ignoring what happened yesterday. Let's begin with, we expect Leonard Fournette to maybe not play until week 11 now, Stefania, because of course, I'm sorry, week 10. They play this week in London. They're on a bye the week after that. And I'm just using my spider sense here. Like, if you trade for Carlos Hyde, he's probably not going to play 2 days later. You probably aren't expecting to have Leonard Fournette back this week.
Right. I think we heard this range of reports, right? There was some, I heard, you know, I see things come in my Twitter feed like, oh, maybe this means they're putting him on IR. No. But that timeline is reasonable. Look what happened to Melvin Gordon after a trip across the pond. Those long flights, it's a thing. There's potential for dehydration. You got a guy who's had a hamstring injury that's been resistant to improvement. You're not going to take him to London and have that be the first game. And then you've got to buy. So I think that now that he missed this past week and still was not practicing, that timeline makes sense.
I too have been resistant to improvement. By the way,
I'm factually correct. I'm the Leonard Fournette of this podcast.
I have been resistant to improvement.
So Matthew,
make no mistake. That should be the title of my book. My next book. Resistant to improvement.
Mr. Linear Matthew Berry is never going upwards or down. How would you assess this backfield going forward now? Because we do have a lot of bodies involved, and when they are healthy, three talented players.
Yeah, we do. And so I think this is really weird. And because I think Carlos Hyde is going to have the widest range of fantasy value outcomes, barring injury, not counting any of the players that, like, you know, some like Sony Michel suddenly, because of the injury to Rex Burkhead, suddenly his value explodes. And so outside of injury, because you think about what Carlos Hyde comes from in terms of one of the teams that is worst in the NFL. Do I need to explain something to you? The Stork Field. He comes from the Stork, let's be honest. I don't think he's ready for that conversation yet.
I would hold off.
Yes, exactly. All right, so
you have until June 22nd, 2019.
Right, exactly. Exactly right. So, all right, so Field Yates, what I would say here is that Carlos Hyde goes from a Browns team that was one of the worst in the NFL in terms of rushing yards before first contact, which is in essence a blocking stack, right? And he goes to the Jaguars, who was one of the better teams in the NFL in terms of rushing yards before first contact. And so he goes to a team that wants to run the ball, and he should get a significant workload against the Eagles. But then I think once Fournette comes back, they don't think of Fournette as a change of pace back or as a running back by committee back. I mean, we talked about this somewhat on Fantasy Football Now. And so this is sort of one of the points that Tim Hasselbeck brought up. And I agree with him here, which is that the idea is that Leonard Fournette is a bruiser. He's a guy that needs 20 carries. He's a guy that wears you down, that when you get to the fourth quarter, you're just like, I can't tackle this guy, this beast of a man anymore. And so Carlos Hyde, I think, is going to go from being a top 15-ish running back, because it's not a great matchup with Philly, but he's gonna go from a guy that, you know, should absolutely be started to a guy whose value is as a handcuff to Leonard Fournette once Fournette comes back, if and when, because it seems like it every week it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, or further and further away in terms of Fournette's value. That's my personal theory on that. I think this is a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, and just, you know, after TJ Yeldon, who's really banged up as well, as Stefania has reminded us, I mean, they've got Jamal Charles, the ghost of Jamal Charles there.
We'll see how long he sticks around on
that
roster.
Well, of course, exactly.
Right? Yeah. So I think that I agree with your point, though, is that, like, there's only one of these three players that I think has a chance to be a weekly starter when they are all healthy, and that's clearly Leonard Fournette. The hope is that maybe you get some clarity and one of those other two navigates his way into flex territory. I think we have to be a little bit more in wait and see mode. Again, they play the Eagles next Sunday morning in London. You know what's
But not- I might try to, before you move on, just because I think this is important, tell me what you think of this theory. If I have Carlos Hyde, I might try to go to whoever has Leonard Fournette in my league and try to buy low, if you will, on Leonard Fournette, because they have to be super frustrated, especially if the Leonard Fournette, the person who has Leonard Fournette in your league is sitting there at 3-4, you know, 2-5, whatever, really needs a win, even 4-3, but, you know, is squeaked by in a couple of them. It might be worth exploring a deal, because then you have the Jaguars running back there.
I agree with that idea. Not a bad thought from you, Matty Berry, Mr. Plain Donut. You know what's not smart? Using your relatives to fill in at work while you look for staff. You know what else is not smart? Letting your friends pick your karaoke song. But you know also what true. Is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/06010 to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers, and this rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Let's move along to what was one of the best games of the day. The Saints traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Another day of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara on the field. Here are the raw numbers. Then we'll get to the takeaways. Alvin Kamara, 17 rushes, 64 yards and a touchdown. 2 receptions, 11 yards. Mark Ingram goes 12 for 32 on the ground. 2 catches, 10 yards. After a couple of weeks of being a little bit panicked, if you rostered Alvin Kamara, would you say, Stefania, that you are now less nervous based off what you saw yesterday?
Yeah, I never really was that nervous. I think when we had plenty of conversation about could this what was going to happen when Mark Ingram came back. And we talked about how many weeks both these running backs were in the top 15 last year. And it was quite a few. And it was in the second half of the season. So I really felt like we'd see Alvin Kamara again. I kind of felt like Sean Payton wanted to get Mark Ingram involved from the beginning. And so there he was back. And it was like, there's the shiny new object, if you will. And let's feature him. But I feel much better just seeing it play out this way, because I think ultimately I thought this would happen. Wasn't sure it would be the second week Mark Ingram was back.
Boy, oh boy, if there was a panicked league mate of mine that had Alvin Kamara and was a little disappointed after the Monday Night Football game and this game where he does get in the end zone, but it's clearly kind of a split, boy, oh boy, would I make an offer, because I believe Alvin Kamara's value is at the lowest it will be all season, barring any sort of injury. And that people will forget that Alvin Kamara, who was, you know, a top 4 fantasy running back last year, field with Mark Ingram there,
right,
taking touches from him the entire year. And so because the Monday Night Football game, he had had such a heavy workload and they got it big and they wanted to sort of welcome Ingram back. And then in a tough matchup on the road at Baltimore, as tough a matchup as the Saints will see all season long. You know, and he still gets in the end zone here.
And he touched the ball a lot. I mean, yeah. Think that, to me, that's what's reassuring. It's not really the stats of how he produced, because sure, you're looking at Alvin Kamara and you're going, I'd love to see 20 plus points every time. But he was super involved. And that's, if you were worried about sharing, that's what you're looking at, is how much is he involved in touching the ball.
So I think it's a good problem to have that the Saints have right now at running back. At wide receiver, though, I think they have a chance to have a good problem as well. Yesterday, in terms of snaps played amongst wide receivers not named Mike Thomas, 73% for Tre'Quan Smith and just 25% for Cameron Meredith. Like,
yeah,
it
that was
feels
surprising.
Like this is the job for Tre'Quan Smith to seize with
Ted
Ginn on IR.
Yeah, because Cameron Meredith came off a really big injury that the Bears did not want to keep him around for. There was some concern. I think the Saints understand what they have in him. He's on the injury report every week. He's limited in practice every week. I think they know they have to use him in a limited fashion. Not limited like you can't go out and run and try and make a play, but volume of work I think is always going to be an issue. And so I don't necessarily see his role growing. At least not in the immediate future.
I like Tre'Quan Smith, though, as one of my favorite waiver wire ads of the week because you're not going to have to compete with a bunch of people. He had just 3 catches yesterday, but it feels like in a matchup that was as difficult as the Saints will see all season, there were some encouraging signs there from Tre'Quan Smith.
It is worth noting they're at Minnesota on Sunday Night Football next week. We expect, if he's healthy, Xavier Rhodes to be on Michael Thomas. Again, Xavier Rhodes left the game. He got banged up as well with an ankle, so we'll see if Rhodes will play. But Minnesota struggles against the slot. That'll be interesting just because Cam Meredith, I think, is going to be the slot guy, and Tre'Quan Smith's going to take over the Ted Ginn role. I agree with you right now. If you're picking up one of them, you're picking up Tre'Quan Smith, but I am not ready to throw in the towel yet on Cam Meredith. I still think there's potential for him to carve out a role in this offense as he gets healthier and healthier.
All right, let's get it rolling here. Joe Flacco has another nice day. Like, is Joe Flacco on the streaming quarterback radar in Week 8 against the Carolina Panthers? Feels like a conversation we'll have throughout the week. But Joe Flacco, 19.6 fantasy points yesterday.
Future Jaguars quarterback, Joe Flacco, you think?
2019 and beyond. Interesting idea.
Turn it over to Lamar Jackson. So anyway, as we wait to see where what fan base gets to be Wacko for Flacco in 2019, I think he's an elite free agent streaming option.
How about that? Keeping that one in mind for Week 8. It seems like Alex Collins is taking this job back in terms of the dominance of the work share in Baltimore, right? Yep. 11 rushes, 38 yards, 3 catches for 10 yards, but maybe it's a takeaway that like neither one of these guys is really one that you are loving having in your lineup between him and Buck Allen. The upside doesn't seem to be significant between either one of them.
No, it isn't, especially because their passing offense is moving so well here. Another big game here from John Brown. Michael Crabtree, you know, now has at least 8 targets in 6 straight games, over 65 receiving yards in 3 straight games. Maybe not the upside of John Brown, but a nice floor for Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, Michael Crabtree has been pretty solid throughout the year. And he had, I think it was 0 for 0 in the first half yesterday. So a nice second half for him to make good on that day. John Brown, awesome as well. We'll take a quick break and come right back after this. Talk about the best player on the planet.
Fantasy, you're in the hole, 6-0-1-0.
Hey, this is Robert Anthony, the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week, and you're listening to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Now, back to the show.
That was very game show.
Yeah.
Very
game show. That guy's awesome. I feel like he has one of those long stick mics in his
head. Yeah, absolutely. I'll play the showcase showdown. I'm ready.
Plinko, it's my favorite game.
I like the yodeling one.
Yodeling?
There's what's the one on Price is Right where they yodel?
Where the guy goes off the cliff.
You go up the right.
It's the cliffhanger, man.
That's what it is. It's the cliffhanger.
Okay. That's my guy.
That's right. Nice job, Not Cool Keith. There you go. Way to pull that one.
I'm going to save my Todd Gurley rant because it's nothing more than grandstanding. Other than just note, this guy is unbelievable.
He's
14 touchdowns already. So much for that touchdown regression people were telling me about when I had him ranked number 1 this year as if I was some sort of maniac. Todd Gurley is unbelievable.
I mean, everyone either had him at 1 or 2. I eventually had him at 1. I certainly had Le'Veon Bell at 1 earlier in August. And I was one of the people that was touting the touchdown regression, thinking it was coming.
Progression.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He's on a better pace than last year.
Play against the 49ers.
He's unbelievable.
To break the all-time single-season scoring record, it was 31 touchdowns by LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006. He's on pace for 32. A fun note, and sorry, Bills fans, our old friend Serena Morales, who now covers the Rams for the team,
love Serena,
tweeted last night, Todd Gurley has scored more points in the Buffalo Bills offense this season. Pretty remarkable.
Todd Gurley
by himself has scored more in the Bills this season. One quick note on the Rams, though, last night, is we all thought, hey, maybe no Cooper Kupp means something from Josh Reynolds. Wasn't exactly the case. Josh Reynolds has 1 catch for 19 yards on 1 target. Maybe we'll just settle for the Rams having two awesome wide receivers until Cooper Kupp returns.
First off, his actual name is My Little Cooper Kupp. Please use it. But I feel like part of the, you know, they got up big in this game, and they didn't need to, and the defense was so dominant. Stefania's 49ers were so pathetic on offense, just such a complete and utter mess, just so awful. Just seemed to be really outclassed on every possible level. It almost seems like they weren't even trying, like, because at some point effort comes into play, Stefania. You know what I mean? And I think that's karma. I honestly think that's karma for screwing man Alfred Morris the week before, but to get humiliated the way they did by the Rams. But back to this thing specifically here.
How did you enjoy that Monday night game?
Which Monday night game?
The one you went to.
Oh.
Yeah,
not good at all.
Okay.
When I went to see my first place Washington Redskins, yeah, that was a disappointing game. But you know, listen, Drew Brees is a future Hall of Famer. What's more important here? Jared Goff's a future Hall of Famer. Okay, maybe we'll see. It's young. It's early in his career. But what I was going to say is that if you watch Sunday NFL Countdown and or Fantasy Football Now, Adam Schefter uses his fantasy long shot, Gerald Everett. And obviously it didn't work out because again, the game got up big and they didn't need to pass nearly as much. Honestly, Jared Goff got bailed out by a dump off to Gurley who made it into a touchdown. But the expectation coming out of Los Angeles is that Gerald Everett is the guy that's going to be used in the middle of the field, some of the routes that Cooper Kupp did. Josh Reynolds is not going to be the slot guy. Josh Reynolds is going to be on the outside. Woods will play some in the slot as well. But I agree with you that, unfortunately, Josh Reynolds, it's just for people that were hoping for, and I was one of them, that you would see Cooper Kupp's level of targets. I don't think it's going to happen.
For the 49ers, disappointing encore for Marquise Goodwin yesterday. 2 catches and 24 yards on 5 targets. But really, all the focus goes back to the running backs here, Stefania. Matt Breida got banged up yesterday, and that might have contributed to Raheem Mostert playing well again yesterday.
Yeah, Matt Breida played only 5 snaps. First time he touched the ball, first time he carried it, he goes out with his ankle injured, spent a lot of time retaping it, comes back in, handful of plays, ultimately leaves the game. Remember, Kyle Shanahan had been worried about him playing on Monday night if they thought it would compromise him down the road. He played Monday night, looked good, but after this, I would be concerned that they might say, you know what, we got to hold you out until you're healthier. So, yeah, just keep that in mind.
Raheem Mostert, yeah. An interesting name on the waiver wire column this week. Ran hard yesterday, just an absolute beast on special teams, but man, they may not need him on special teams because they're going to need him so much on the offense or in the offense yesterday and going forward. Guy's been a good player.
My jokes about Alfred Morris, it's clear that Mostert is the better running back just from the eye test. Sure. Like it's not close. And honestly, again, I feel like it serves Kyle Shanahan right. Should have held Breida out of that Monday night game, would have held him healthy for this game. Maybe they could have been more competitive against the Rams. And Alfred Morris could have gotten a point. He does get a point in this game, but I would agree with you. Matt Breida, whether he comes back or not for this week, he just can't stay healthy. He's not built. It was one of the reasons why I liked Morris when the injury to McKinnon happened, is because as much as I like Breida's talent, I didn't think he was built to be an every down back in the NFL, as tough as he is. Stefania. And you disagree with that?
I think that's the concern, yeah. Obviously.
Latavius Murray was awesome again for the Vikings yesterday. Fills in for Dalvin Cook, who we knew on Friday was unlikely to play. But Stefania, it's starting to get frustrating there.
It is. And just exchanging texts with Courtney Cronin, who covers the Vikings for us. And yeah, that's right. Because you know what? She's really good. And she says now that it looks like it's trending towards the Vikings shutting him down until after the bye week. The bye is in week 10. So if you think about that, we are just completed week 7. It could be Latavius Murray for a few more weeks while they let Dalvin Cook get fully healthy. I think this back and forth has been frustrating for everyone, including the player who clearly wants to be out there. But you worry about the risk of a setback when you're operating at less than 100%.
Truly remarkable turn of events for Dalvin Cook. Full participant in practice Wednesday to potentially shut down for multiple weeks. You know, I don't want to get too bogged down on this. Stephon Diggs, quote unquote, struggled yesterday. He got you 10.6 points. He had 8 catches. Like, you know, he's fine. It's Stephon Diggs. Like, he's still going to be a top 25 wide receiver week to week. And I don't know if this one is quite as concerning, but given how few options there are at tight end, I'm still in on Kyle Rudolph, but it's been kind of a quiet year so far for the big tight end.
It has been. You know, Cousins has sort of spread it around. It's weird because at some point you got to say they are what they are, but it just feels like every week there's just a weird Vikings game, whether they get blown out or they're blowing the other team out.
They seem to be back on track now, which is good. 3 straight games.
Yes.
And how about this? Sunday night against the Saints, Cannot wait for that one.
That will be fun a lot. The issue with Diggs isn't Diggs. The issue is that Thielen's been so ridiculous.
Seven straight games with 100-plus receiving yards from Adam Thielen. He is unbelievable. The Jets have slightly fewer.
Is there a wide receiver in the NFL you want more from fantasy? If we were drafting today for the rest of the season,
I tweeted that yesterday and asked the question.
It is, right?
I can't make the case against him.
Right. Like, you'd rather have him than Antonio Brown.
Don't tell me about the floor. Don't tell me about the touchdowns. Don't tell me about the consistency. He does everything. If we redrafted today, he would be a top five fantasy pick, regardless of position. The Jets have no such luxury at wide receiver, as they got basically nothing from their wideouts yesterday. But Stefania, it also hurt when they lost Bilal Powell in the game. I believe it was a neck injury pushed him out of the game.
Neck injury, forced out. There haven't been any more details than that, but obviously that's something serious. Wait and see.
We'll wait and see. It is worth noting, Field, and maybe, hey, a suggestion if he's not already on your free agent finds column, but for deeper leagues, Elijah McGuire.
Yeah, can't play this week, so.
No, exactly, but right. He is due back relatively soon, and I don't believe they'll want Isaiah Crowell to take the full workload. I believe when Elijah McGuire comes back, regardless of the health status of Bilal Powell, I believe Elijah McGuire will have a role in this offense.
Yeah, another interesting potential backfield split there in New York. Trenton Cannon stepped up yesterday, 4 catches for 69 yards. If you're like, who? Well, Trenton Cannon, Chris Herndon were amongst the notable pass catchers for the Jets yesterday. It tells you all you need to know. We'll see if they re-sign Terrell Pryor, who was cut on Saturday because of an injury issue. He could be back in relatively short order. The Jets right now, though... Jermaine Kearse with the bagel. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. It's like I was, you know, all cop to it. Just a bad call by me. I apologize on that one. He led the Jets with 28 different routes run from the slot. He ran 28 routes from the slot against one of the worst slot defensive teams in the NFL and comes with a bagel. I don't want to tell you, people. Process over results, but just a bad call by me.
Sometimes the fantasy gods just do not smile down on our favor. What an impressive performance from the Carolina Panthers in the fourth quarter of yesterday's game. They go down 17-0 on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions. They come back and win 21-17. And Devin Funchess looked as good as we've seen him in quite some time.
Yep.
6 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. He seems to be the only steady thing right now amongst Carolina pass catchers, and that includes Greg Olsen. Like, he's the only one right now that seems to be really conceding that consistent target share, Matthew, in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, how good do we think Greg Olsen is? I brought this point up on Fantasy Football Now, and he bails you out with a short kind of gimme touchdown. But that was only his third touchdown in his last 20 games played.
I know you keep using that stat, but I just have a really hard time putting those things together because you're talking about a guy who was injured all of last season virtually from week one out and had one good game after he came back and then got injured right away this season. So I think there is a legitimate...
But that stat goes back to 2016, Stefania.
Right. But I'm saying you're kind of taking two things that aren't totally the same and putting them in one mix. Like, I think the Greg Olsen that you saw sprinkled in the games last year around the injury and this year so far has been a guy who wasn't 100%. And so there's a time that it takes to get him integrated back into the offense and doing everything that he did before. And some of the parts are new since then. So I don't think that I would write him off that quickly, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, I'm not writing him off. The position is so thin. He has to be rostered in 100% of leagues. He has to be started in 100% of leagues. I'm just saying, I think the idea that he's a top five fantasy tight end, I don't agree with that statement.
I'm not saying
I ranked him 10th
that.
This week, and I thought I was too high on him. And, I think he's in that, we don't have time to do it today. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. A name game with Greg Olsen, I'd much rather Njoku the rest of the year than Greg Olsen. I'd much rather George Kittle than Greg Olsen. You know,
I agree.
Guys that were drafted much later than him.
I agree. I agree with all that. But yeah. I think if you had a nobody, you were completely stuck. You know, I would say I think he will work his way into the top 10 in the second half of the season.
Like we have 5 or 6 really good tight ends, and then we have 7 or 8 that can be decent on reasonable weeks, and then everything else is just
absolutely brutal. Another tough game for Christian McCaffrey, who seems to have settled into a high floor but not particularly high ceiling kind of role here. I don't know if it's just the play calling or because Olsen's back or whatever, but if 14 points is a bad game, you'll take it. But it feels like we say that every week with McCaffrey.
It's almost like more rushing has led to less receiving, where the real optimal value of Christian McCaffrey is that he can be such a menace in the passing game. The Eagles have kind of a confusing backfield, and saying that is sort of putting it lightly. Wendell Smallwood again led the team in terms of snaps and also touches amongst running backs. But he gets you 9 for 32 on the ground, 2 for 5 in the air. Now, it's worth noting he had a 60-yard pass called back on what might not have been a penalty, but you know he gets so that might change the tenor of his day if that play goes for the 60 yards and the catch. But, you know, frustrating day for this Eagles backfield. And have we gotten to the point already where, especially with Darren Sproles' return on the horizon, like, can you trust any Eagles back right now?
Absolutely not. When you think about next week's game against the Jaguars defense, that isn't what the Jaguars used to be. It was still not a great matchup here. We saw some Josh Adams yesterday as well, field. And so I don't know that you're necessarily starting or even rostering Josh Adams. But enough usage that it certainly hurts the value of those two guys here. I think they're all just sort of kind of desperation flex plays at the moment until we see some separation. And I think under Doug Peterson, we're not going
to. Yeah, it just may not come. Right? It just may not come at all.
Yeah, it's a committee on a pass first team. That's what you're dealing with here.
The Bills lose 37-5, probably the most embarrassing performance offensively of the season for Buffalo, which is saying something. They've just been so dreadful right now. But LeSean McCoy leaves this game early with a head injury. Stephon, it was interesting because when he got hurt, it looked like an ankle or perhaps like a lower body extremity thing.
Even Mike Redick, like they thought it was like, again, this is why the videos can be misleading, but turns out he's in the concussion protocol. The Bills have confirmed.
All right. And Chris Ivory stepped in for LeSean McCoy, 16 rushes, 81 yards, 3 catches for 25 yards. He too got banged up. Now he did return to the game, Stephon. Right. He got banged up at one point.
He left for a while. It sounded like it could be his left leg, then returned. So obviously just watch his status during the week.
Desperation play. Chris Ivory against the Patriots next Monday night. Like you fearful of the potential for this game to get out of hand early, but he's on the waiver wire right now because there really aren't that many running back options of note, and volume should work in his favor. He's also been pretty steady in the passing game so far this year, has Chris Ivory, Matthew.
He certainly has. And, you know, like, look, I thought he looked good. He was playing the Colts, of course, but I thought he looked good. I mean, I think you'll see some Marcus Murphy as well mixed in there as well. So I think he's an uninspiring bye week fill-in.
Yep, that's where I would put him as well. The Colts might have an inspiring RB top 15 running back. I mean, Marlon Mack has been running like a man possessed.
Mack attack. The big Mack.
The Mack attack as his best game by far.
We need a nickname for him. What do you want?
I like Mack attack. Mack That's attack. Pretty good.
There you go.
There hasn't been a Colts running back who ran as well as Marlon Mack ran in quite some time. 19 rushes, 126 yards and a touchdown, 2 catches, 33 yards and a touchdown. One of the 5 best running backs in fantasy so far this week. I mean, if we got to the point, Matthew, where it's Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines was nice knowing you. Talk to you later.
I don't think we're there just yet because remember, they were up in this game and they were up big, right? And so I don't know how many times that scenario happens for the Indianapolis Colts this upcoming season. So they play, I mean, so here's their schedule, right? So they're playing at the Raiders this week. Certainly a chance there.
Yep.
Although the Raiders are at home and they're off of a bye. Then they're home to the Jaguars, home to the Titans, home to the Dolphins, at the Jaguars, at the Texans, home to the Cowboys, home to the Giants, at the Titans. Like, that's an up and down. There's some good run defenses coming in there, and there's certainly some teams that, you know, whether it's the Titans or the Jaguars, or the Texans, Cowboys, where you feel like even if they win those games, they're not going to be blowing those teams out the way they were Buffalo. Those are teams that I think will compete with the Colts and, you know, certainly have a very legitimate shot at beating them. So I don't know that you see the same kind of game script that you saw here that led to Marlon Mack having such a big day. Because honestly, if you look a little bit closer, Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins also ran well. They just didn't get nearly as many opportunities as Marlon Mack.
Yeah, maybe. So you're right. I think it's really game script or the potential for the Indianapolis Colts to play in blowout games that could impact Nyheim Hines. It might be one of those where you kind of just have to evaluate the opponent week to week, right? So next week against the Raiders might be a good Mack week.
Right. You know? Right, exactly. And so in a game where you think they might be trailing, you know, if they're playing against, like, I'm looking at it, like the Texans, assuming we think the Texans offense gets better, right? If they're on the, you know, that you could see them trailing a little bit. And so I don't think it's welcome to Dumpsville for Nyheim Hines just yet, especially given the fact that Marlon Mack has never been the healthiest cat around.
Right.
But I do think his value took a significant hit and Marlon Mack's took a big hit. He added that big play potential that the Colts offense has needed from their ground game for quite some time.
Couple of other notes here. T.Y. Hilton plays yesterday, 4 catches, 25 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But tell you what, though, that Bills secondary is pretty darn good, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, T.Y. Hilton was on the hate list, you know, in part because of what I thought would happen with the game and Tre'Davious White and everything like that. And I was right up until T.Y. Hilton gets two gimme BS touchdowns.
Eric,
where's my bitter berry?
Right in front of you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where it always is.
But thanks.
Eric Ebron goes 3 for 31
there we go.
On Chase 7 Wallace. Targets. Jack Doyle could return at some point this season, it sounds like. I don't really forecast when that will be, but Jack Doyle is available in about 75% of leagues. And Adam Vinatieri got hurt, Stefania. Keep an eye on that one for next week.
He did. He was on the injury report a couple of weeks ago, aggravated right groin injury, getting an MRI today, so stay tuned. He missed two extra points. It just doesn't happen. You know, he still made two field goals and made two extra points, but Vinatieri does not miss. You knew he was injured.
And I believe he needs just one more field goal to break the NFL's all-time scoring record. Let's get to the Lions. Their convincing win over the Dolphins yesterday, 32-21. Kerryon Johnson, the breakout game. Well, his second 100-plus-yard game,
though.
But awesome to see that usage from Kerryon Johnson. The only thing that could have been better was him getting the touchdown. But LeGarrette Blount's going to be the goal line hammer for this team when they get in close.
Yeah, and by the way, again, like a no Theo Riddick in this game. Are we convinced of that? So again, I think this is a little bit of game script. Like, Kerryon Johnson looked exactly what we thought he would be. Like, he's a talented running back.
Right.
Free Kerryon Johnson, we kept screaming about. But I don't know that he continues to get this kind of work. They're at, they're home to the Seahawks next week. Then they're at the Vikings. They're at the Bears. They're home to the Panthers. They're home to the Bears again. You know, like, how many of those games do you think the Lions are definitely up and using Kerryon Johnson in this manner in a significant way? I mean, Blount still vultured, even in a game in which Kerryon Johnson looked awesome, Blount still vultured a touchdown from him, and it was a bad game for Matthew Stafford. Like, I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on Kerryon Johnson, not because of his talent, but because I'm not fully convinced that he gets the usage he got in this game going forward.
This is merely one where you hope the team talks itself into the player 100%. More and more throughout the week. Despite what we have seen usage-wise from other players on this roster, the Dolphins are just a wasteland right now. They really are. Albert Wilson gets hurt, and Adam Schefter reports he's unlikely to play this Thursday night. Of course, it's a short week for them. We don't know Stefania here, but is it a groin issue for Wilson?
It sounds like it was a hip injury. And Drew Rosenhaus saying that he...
The agent, Albert Wilson.
I feel like he's a household name,
really
right? But that it's expected to sideline him sometime, that the best case scenario would be a few weeks. So that certainly is worrisome as far as his status going forward.
All right, keep an eye on Albert Wilson, which might bring Danny Amendola into the spotlight. 6 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown for Danny Amendola yesterday, again, because of the Devontae Parker drama. If you've missed that, he's at odds with the team, plus Albert Wilson's injury.
And we haven't seen him. And then Kenny Stills got banged up, injured late in the game. I know there was the collision with the security guard that happened in the second quarter, but late in the game, injured in the fourth quarter, walks off the field limping. So keep your eye on Kenny Stills' health status.
Perhaps the only wide receiver you can trust this week for the Dolphins, and trust might be too strong of a word, will be Danny Amendola. The Titans went across the pond. They lose 20-19 to the Chargers, but
they found Deion Lewis.
They found Deion Lewis. I was really encouraged by the usage yesterday. Matthew, you seem to be not as much encouraged.
Yeah, because again, I think it's sort of 1 week. I mean, we have a much larger sample size of Deion Lewis just not being very good.
Mm.
Right? So weeks 1 through 6, he was averaging 3.1 yards per carry. Out of the 46 qualified running backs, he was 44th in that metric. He had 21 touches and a touchdown in week one. Since then, just 13.5 touches per game. Again, like, hopefully this works out, but Derrick Henry still gets the touchdown here. So it's still, in a best case scenario, it is a running back by committee on a low volume, inefficient offense. That looked better. Mariota played better on Sunday morning than we've seen him play in a long time, and maybe he has turned the corner here. You know, and also it's worth noting that Titans are on a bye in week 8. So maybe they say, hey, let's take what worked, and, you know, we almost came close. We failed to convert the two-pointer, but we took them to the wire here. Let's take what worked well for us and build on that out of the bye. So you have to hope, but the idea for me that Deion Lewis is suddenly like, oh, all is forgiven. He's back to what he was with the Patriots. I've put him in your lineup and don't think about it.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. I'm still exercising caution. Having said that, if you're asking me, pick one Titans running back to have the rest of the season, it's Deion Lewis, and I don't think it's close.
Yeah, it definitely is not close. You just hope, again, in the same way the Titans might, or that the Lions could be inspired by Kerryon Johnson, perhaps the Titans are more inspired by Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
Corey Davis, where you at, man? We're counting on you, dude.
Yeah.
Difficult, difficult day at the office for Corey Davis. Tajae Sharpe was the best Titans wide receiver on the field yesterday. Tells you about all you need to know.
Yeah. To me, do you have any problem if somebody wants to dump Corey Davis? I mean, it's bye week. There's four teams on a bye. We've got some people banged up.
Nope.
If you need the roster spot, are you any... Right? Welcome to Dumpsville.
Welcome to Dumpsville. If you need the roster spot, for sure.
100%.
For the Chargers, not a surprise. Well, yes, a surprise. No Melvin Gordon on Sunday morning, Stefania. He was on Friday. I said, hey, they added him to the injury report, but even Anthony Lynn was like, yeah, no big deal.
But here's what they added him to the practice injury report. When they filed their game injury report, he wasn't on it.
Right.
So that's always the clearance, right? Because when they did away with the probable designation, the feeling was unless the player was questionable status or lower, they would not be on the pregame injury report that gets filed Friday night. So when you saw that he had limited reps and they talked about maybe a little dehydration, long flight, blah, 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 you're like, okay, well, they're comfortable with it and he's fine. But again, this is what happens. Things can change. And when a player comes in Saturday morning and they're not really happy with what they see, they downgrade him to questionable, comes in on Sunday, does a pregame workout. They're definitely not comfortable with him starting, and so he gets ruled out.
Given the fact that they were on a bye next week, this seems like the most prudent course of action field.
Yep, and Austin Ekeler showed again that when he gets counted on to fill in, like he could be a very capable player. Caught five passes yesterday and played 95% of the snaps. So we hope that Melvin Gordon is back in week 9 when they return from their bye. That game they played the Seattle Seahawks. I think that game is back in Los Angeles. Cowboys go to D.C. and lose! Lose to the Redskins 20-17.
Second big game for Tyrell Williams, too, by the way.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I did not mean to overlook that one. Tyrell Williams, another big game, back-to-back, over 100 yards. I think he's DeSean Jackson. That's basically what he is, right? Like, you're going to have to hope that he goes for big plays, but he's averaging over 21 yards a catch. Tyrell Williams got that connection with Phillip Rivers. It's low volume, but a lot of upside.
I mean, we're sitting here talking about, Traquan Smith. You can't tell me that Tyrell Williams didn't have as much, if not more, upside than Traquan Smith with a more established quarterback, more of a connection, I should say.
Yep.
You know, he's been in that system longer. Traquan Smith, obviously a rookie for New Orleans. So it's the same kind of player in that, right, they're going to take 3 or 4 deep shots a game, and the way they're playing right now and the way Phillip Rivers is slinging the ball, very quietly having a monster, just awesome year, Phillip Rivers. Yeah, Tyrell Williams.
Now let's go to the Cowboys and the Redskins. HTTR, wow. As they say, 20-17.
HTTR.
No style points in D.C., but they get the job done all the same for the Cowboys. Are we starting to see new life from Dak Prescott as they enter their bye? I mean, back-to-back games with 20-plus points?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
We are.
Point of what is my question?
Bye week fill-in. Like, I don't, the problem is when you've got guys like Mitchell Trubisky out there on the waiver wire. Is Jameis Winston at this point 100% roster? I don't even think
he's close.
He is.
Right. But okay. Not like, definitely not waiver wire worthy.
But I think he's certainly a viable bye week fill-in. You know, I'm sure he's already rostered in 2 quarterback leagues, but it's nice to see from Dak Prescott, who, was certainly somebody I was not high on coming into the season here. It's good to see him finally starting to get back to being fantasy relevant.
30.1%. I wonder, 30.1%. He's got some favorable matchups coming up. Philadelphia, Atlanta, Tennessee.
Yeah. By this
Saints.
Week. So, aware.
Yep. So keep an eye on Dak Prescott as we loop back into week 9. Is there a Cowboys wide receiver that's become onto the radar, Matthew, like Michael Gallup or Cole Beasley? Beasley's got 7 catches in 3 games this year. Gallup played his best game as a pro yesterday.
He did. It was a little bit of a, it was a really nice move in that, he just did a kind of a stop and go in the corner bit, and Gallup was wide open. So credit to him for the nice move, and they found him. Yeah, it feels like Cole Beasley is what he is.
Yeah.
The big game 2 weeks ago, it's a bit of a fluke, but he's just sort of a high floor, like, bye week fill in for a 12 team or deeper PPR league. I just need 8 points. I need somebody to get me 8 points. And that's what Cole Beasley is. I think if you're going to take a flyer on someone that you can stash, Michael Gallup. Alan Hearns has a nice game in this one as well, but Gallup is the guy that, you feel like is starting to come on as Dak's playing better and they go back in the bye week and they figure out this offense. Gallup is worth the kind of, roster stash if you're going to pick anyone on this roster.
While they're on a bye week, please figure out Zeke Elliott. Thank you very much.
Yeah, seriously.
A concerned Zeke Elliott.
I got to be honest with you. It is a pretty impressive effort from Adrian Peterson yesterday. He was just tremendous while being banged up. 24 catch.
So hurt.
I get it. He only got you 11.7 fantasy points, but 24 for 99. Hello.
But he carried the running game. I mean, he's really been It's nothing short of remarkable what he's playing through and being able to do what he's doing. And, you know, when you're a guy that the other team knows is banged up and injured, it's that much harder because they're coming for you. You know, the last thing they want is a guy who's got three body parts that are banged up to take it to the house, you know, to bring it to them. And here he comes in at just a yard short of 100 yards on the ground. It just volume of work, really impressive. I tell you this. His teammates are all kinds of fired up about him. He's very inspirational to the rest of them.
He is a physical freak of nature, Stefania. This is his first time with consecutive games of 90 or more rushing yards since weeks 9 and 10 of 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, so Adrian Peterson, keep drinking whatever you're drinking out of that fountain of youth because it is certainly working. A really impressive performance here. A week after doing absolutely nothing, Capri Bibbs fills in field for Chris Thompson here. You buying this at all?
Like, put it this way, you know, in a week where we don't know whether or not Chris Thompson will play next week, running backs are hard to find, right?
Yes.
I mean, Capri Bibbs, at least on the waiver wire, is a deeper league ad. Like, he might be somewhere around like 30 to 35 in our running back ranks this week. Played much better yesterday than he did after not really showing out that much in week six, I should say, when Thompson missed that game.
I will say this, you know, the volume for him and having him be able to ratchet it up, even though it wasn't hugely productive on fantasy, it still was over 15 points. But I think that gives them a little more confidence. Like, hey, if Chris Thompson needs to sit a little longer, they have Capri Bibbs who can fill that role.
Divisional game for them next week at the Giants here. And Jordan Reed joins that Greg Olsen, Kyle Rudolph list of tight ends you probably have to start, but healthy but uninspiring.
Yep. No, it's not great. He's healthy, and yet he can't.
I know.
It's crazy.
This is the ultimate irony, right? You got the healthy Jordan Reed who's like off the fantasy radar.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is super crazy, but listen, I'm happy with the W, Field. I'm happy with the W.
First place by a game and a half. It got a legit shot.
If you weren't so mean about my 49ers, I'd support you. But
you know what, Stefania? I want to be clear about this because you know I love you. I truly love you. You're one of my best friends in the world. It is not necessarily your 49ers. It is Kyle Shanahan. It is your Kyle Shanahan coach.
Hey,
fantasy
you
players,
used to sing his praises.
I did
upon
used to sing
time.
His praises.
What happened?
Until he screwed me over with Alfred Morris in one stupid point. That's what happened when Shanahan's. Just like his father did in Washington, fantasy players not knowing which running back to trust. You know, I once met Mike Shanahan.
Is that right? At his steakhouse?
No, not at his steakhouse. We did an event together.
Think he remembers?
He might. I don't know. He was he couldn't have been lovelier. I really enjoyed talking to him, and it's funny. Like he started to he was talking about fantasy, and since he stopped coaching, he started to understand more about fantasy. And he told me once he knew who I was or what I was doing. He says, I got to be honest. Now that I play some fantasy. I sort of get why you guys got so angry about me with my running back rotation.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
It was great. He was very self-effacing self-deprecating. He's like, I get it now. I'm sorry. I had no idea. I was just trying to win games.
That's pretty impressive.
I like the father quite a bit.
Let's keep things moving here with our final game of the weekend. The Bengals go to Kansas City and enjoyed themselves some barbecue. At least. Because other than that, they did nothing. 45-10, an absolute shellacking. Gosh, so many things aligned for Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd and others to have a big night other than Andy Dalton. Jeez, Matthew, what happened?
I'll tell you what happened. They boned us. This is what happens when you believe in the Cincinnati Bengals. What do? They bone you, Field. You get completely boned. They're the Cincinnati boners. That's what happens. It's Andy Dalton in prime time. What's going to happen? You're going to get boned. Do you start Tyler Boyd? Because I did, and I got boned. That's what happens. Andy Dalton looked awful. He was locked in on AJ Green. They obviously felt that was a matchup that they could exploit. Orlando Scandrick tried and failed to keep up with him. Orlando Scandrick, who couldn't make the Redskins, was with the hot Redskins for a hot minute, and they released him in training camp. And the Chiefs, who were so depleted in the secondary, they signed him. But Scandrick had a tough game in this one. And for whatever reason, Tyler Boyd was just an afterthought, just four targets. Here's a guy, Tyler Boyd, who averaged 6.2 catches per game for the season prior to last night. He got less targets than catches, and so it was very, very disappointing here. I don't really chalk much up I know this is sort of like anecdotal, but a little bit of primetime Andy, just like not ready for primetime. The Chiefs are a really good team. Primetime game in Arrowhead, ding.
I don't love the Monday morning quarterback stuff too often, but coach has got the best of him yesterday. Why are you punting early in this game, Marvin Lewis? It's the old adage, you can't play, you gotta get sevens on the board. You can't take three and you certainly can't punt. This game was over by the middle of the first quarter. The Chiefs absolutely blitzed the Bengals. The Bengals didn't belong on that field last night with the way that they played. Really uninspiring effort from Cincinnati and Kansas City. They're just awesome, man. We have nothing to say fantasy-wise. Kareem Hunt goes nuts. Patrick Mahomes also goes nuts. Tyreek Hill, he gets you 20-plus points. Travis Kelce gets you 14.5 points. Sammy Watkins was good. Appreciate the Chiefs. That's all we can say about them.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to have a Chief on your team, you're starting them.
Correct.
There you go.
There's our big takeaway.
And better days are ahead for the Cincinnati Boners as they host the Buccaneers in week 8. I'm still hanging tough with, Mixon and Boyd and obviously Green and Dalton. The one thing I'll say is that Dalton, who had sort of been locked into as kind of a consistent top 12 play and who everyone liked in this coming to this game, I ranked him high as well. Now more of a streamer, although I'm going to be back in on him against Tampa Bay in a game that won't be in prime time.
All right. Well, that's all we have for today's show.
That's not everything we have for today.
Poll results.
Poll results. Is Field Yates the plain donut of the 0-6-0-0 Thirsty Kyle? Can you give us the poll results there?
We had 64% saying yes, but that wasn't the highlight of the poll. We've also got a nice little comment here that I want you guys to react to live.
Okay. We're just waiting for Kyle to log into Twitter. This is very exciting. That's pretty good.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Explain,
so, Derek Devereaux, am I reading that right?
Yes, you are.
So, at Derek Devereaux, writes, Alfred Morris is the official bagel of the 0-6-0-1-0.
And puts up a plain bagel photo. Yeah, well done.
That's well done.
Well done.
And, Derek Devereaux, I will tell you this right now. 100%, absolutely the official bagel of the 0-6-0-1-0 for now and forevermore is Alfred Morris.
We are back on Tuesday with a loaded podcast, waiver wire ads, Monday Night Football recap, and so much more. In the meantime, the fantasy show featuring Matthew Berry starring Field Yates will be on TV later on today.
On ESPN Plus, be sure to check that out.
Stefania B87 on Instagram is Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. He's at Matthew Berry TMR everywhere in social media. Just Matthew Berry in the Fantasy Life app.
Yep.
My name's at Field Yates. We are back on Tuesday.
Peace out!
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make
Mediocre fan.